You know that feeling, right? That sort of gut reaction when someone mentions, oh, changes are coming. Even when it's supposed to be a good change, it can just feel really hard.
Yeah, incredibly hard. And it's definitely not just about personal preference, is it?
No, it feels deeper. And today, we're doing a deep dive into why. We're looking at the neuropsychology, even the socioeconomics behind it. We've pulled together some really interesting research, Harvard, MIT, Stanford, trying to get to the bottom of why our brains often seem wired to just resist.
Right. And a lot of it starts, well, deep inside the brain with the amygdala.
The brain's alarm system.
Exactly. Think of it as your brain's ancient sentinel.
Yeah.
It sees anything new, anything uncertain, and boom, flags it as a potential threat.
Instantly.
Pretty much instantly. It kicks off that whole better safe than sorry fight or flight response.
And it doesn't really care what the change is, like a new boss versus a
Well,
tiger.
huh? Basically, it doesn't distinguish. A new software update at work. To the amygdala, it's just unknown, which historically meant potentially dangerous.
Okay, so that's the primal reaction. But what about the rational part? The prefrontal cortex, the PFC, our executive decision maker. Why doesn't it just step in?
Well, it tries. It really does. But the PFC, it has surprisingly limited cognitive resources. It gets tired.
Like change fatigue, is that a real
Oh,
thing?
absolutely. Too much disruption, too fast, and the PFC just gets overwhelmed. There's fascinating MIT research, actually, on the media dorsal thalamus.
Okay.
It acts like a crucial sort of neural toggle. It
Yeah.
helps you suppress old rules and adopt new ones. Cognitive flexibility, basically.
But if the PFC is overloaded,
Then that toggle gets stuck.
bleh.
The PFC can't manage the switch effectively, and your brain defaults back to the amygdala's fear signal. It's the easier path.
Wow. Okay, that explains why constant change feels so exhausting. What about dopamine? We usually think of it as like the pleasure chemical.
Yeah, that's the common idea, but it's more about motivation. Dopamine drives motivational salience. It flags what's important, what's worth pursuing.
So status quo, it's comfortable because it's predictable. No nasty surprises.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No negative prediction errors, as neuroscientists call them. Change, by its nature, is uncertain. It often predicts a potential dip in reward, a dopamine dip. So we avoid it.
So the trick is.
Well, one key insight is creating small wins. You need those little dopamine bursts along the way to reinforce the new behavior, to make the brain feel like, okay, this new thing, it's actually rewarding.
So our brain hardware is kind of set against novelty, but it's not just the wiring, is it? There's psychology at play too, our minds.
Oh, definitely. We have these deeply ingrained psychological biases, often evolutionary leftovers, like loss aversion.
That's the idea that losing something hurts more than gaining the equivalent feels good.
Precisely. Often quoted as twice as much. So when faced with change, you automatically overweight what you might lose, familiarity, comfort routine, making the change feel much riskier than it objectively might be. We cling to what we have.
And that ties into cognitive dissonance too, right? That uncomfortable feeling when a new reality clashes with your beliefs.
Exactly. Like, I'm really good at my job, but this new system makes me feel like a total beginner. That clash creates mental stress.
So resistance isn't just passive. It can be an active way to reduce that stress.
Yes, people might subtly push back, find flaws, predict failure, all sometimes unconsciously, to protect their self-image, to reduce that dissonance.
So what's the solution there?
One powerful approach is involvement. If you involve people in designing or shaping the change, they feel ownership. It reduces that feeling of imposition and helps align the new reality with their sense of agency.
That makes sense. And you mentioned Stanford research earlier, Ilya Krum, about minds changing reality.
Yes, her work is fascinating. It connects strongly to Carol Dweck's research on mindsets.
Fix versus growth.
Right. If you have a fixed mindset, you see your abilities as static. Change becomes a threat because failure might expose your limitations. I might look stupid.
Whereas a growth mindset.
Sees change as an opportunity, a chance to learn to develop. Failure isn't a judgment, it's feedback. It fundamentally changes how you engage with the uncertainty of change.
Okay, so we have the brain's wiring, the psychological biases, the mindset. What happens when this resistance really takes hold? What are the sort of real-world consequences?
They can be pretty severe, actually. When change is chronic and poorly managed, Harvard research shows it can lead to toxic stress.
Toxic stress, that sounds bad.
It is. It's not just feeling stressed, it can physically damage your brain. It shrinks the PFC and the hippocampus, crucial for reasoning, memory, but actually grows the amygdala.
So it literally rewires you to be more anxious.
Essentially, yes. It increases the risk for anxiety and depressive disorders. The CDC stats are stark, something like 1 in 5 adults experiencing depression, 1 in 8 for anxiety. Poorly managed change can be a significant contributing factor.
Wow. And beyond the personal impact, there's an economic cost too, isn't there?
That's huge. McKinsey found that around 70% of organizational change initiatives fail. 70%.
That's staggering. And why?
The primary reason cited in something like 72% of those failures: employee resistance. And think about the cost of that failure and the cost of disengagement that often follows. Gallup estimated that costs the global economy, wait for it, $7.8 trillion annually.
Trillion? Just from disengagement, often linked to change resistance.
It's a massive, often hidden cost.
So, okay, let's wrap this up. When you, listening, feel that internal tug of war about a change, that resistance kicking in.
Remember, it's not just you being difficult or stubborn. It's this incredibly complex interplay. Ancient brain circuits designed for survival, powerful psychological patterns learned over lifetimes, all trying to keep you safe in a way.
Understanding that is powerful. It's the first step.
Absolutely. And maybe the provocative thought to leave with is this. Now that we know about these deep-seated mechanisms, what if we stopped fighting them?
What if we could consciously design changes in our own lives, in our workplaces, in ways that actually work with our brains instead of against them? Mm-hmm. How could you use this understanding to maybe embrace that next change just a little differently?